Hello, homies. Would you like to get your next order of homeopathic remedies for free? Then sign up to become an affiliate of Eugenie Kruger Homeopathy by visiting eugeniekruger.com/affiliates. You will receive an affiliate code, which you can give to your friends and family. They can then use your code when they purchase products at eugeniekruger.com and they will receive 5% off their first order. The best part is that you will receive 5% of whatever they purchase through our site for their first year. This will go as a store credit on your account. So when you're ready to stock up on our amazing remedies and other products, your credit will be sitting there waiting for you. How amazing is that? So check out www.eugeniekruger.com/affiliates. Right now in Australia, the state of Victoria is having their elections until 26 November. Victorians have been through some of the longest lockdowns, restrictions, and mandates in the world, all because medical authorities would not allow proven natural prevention and treatment options to be used against COVID. Don't allow this to happen again. For freedom, prosperity, and health, vote one for Dr. Isaac Golden and the Health Australia Party team. To find out more, listen to episode 126 of this podcast or visit www.healthaustraliaparty.com.au. Hello everyone, it's Eugenie here. Today was a very special episode with an Indian homeopath, Dr. Sanjay Solunki. He has over 30 years of experience and he's also the founder of Homeopathy for Humanity. So I just love synchronicity, and I asked a question in an international homeopathic group a few months ago, and just asking for some advice, and Dr. Sanjay answered my question. And so we private messaged each other after that, and we've been having some Facebook chats back and forth over the past few months, and it's been lovely to get to know him. And yeah, when I started this podcast, I said, Sanjay, I have to interview you because the homeopathy scene is so different in India to anywhere else in the world, really. Homeopathy is just like mainstream medicine over there. They have homeopathic hospitals and the doctors are hugely respected, the homeopathic doctors. And it's just everyone on the street knows about homeopathy. And speaking of street, you will hear the very authentically sounding Indian backdrop in Sanjay's conversation. There's cars tooting and beeping, and yeah, it is very loud. We tried to edit out some of the background noise, but it was very tricky. So my apologies for the sound quality. We did try our best. We hope you enjoy this episode. It's certainly a very different way of looking at homeopathy, and it's lovely to see that homeopathy is so accepted in India, and just hearing about the work that Sanjay has done. He has treated a lot of COVID cases, and it's really wonderful to see that the homeopaths in India are now allowed to treat COVID. They weren't initially. And so it's wonderful that they are now able to get some great results with their clients. And as always, we need to keep an open mind. We need to always try to encourage using natural medicine alongside the pharmaceuticals. And I'm just glad that the Indian government has realized that and allowed the homeopaths to start treating COVID to just alleviate some of that stress on the hospitals. And hopefully we can adopt that over here in Australia and the rest of the world as well. So enjoy this episode, and apologies again for the sound. I'm sure the message will come across though. Thank you.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today we are hanging out with homeopath Dr. Sanjay Solunki, all the way from India. Welcome, Sanjay.
Thank you, Eugene.
It's so exciting having you on today because obviously the scene on homeopathy is very different in India to how it is here in Australia, and I can't wait to unpack that all with you today and talk about all the differences. But before we get into that, can you please tell me how you were first introduced to homeopathy and why you decided to become a homeopath?
Actually, my becoming homeopath was a little bit strange story. I wanted to be allopath, and I just failed to reach that point just with a 2% of marks. And after that, one of my father's friend had introduced a new college in my city, and I was really didn't know what was that about. And he said, if you are not become allopath, then it's better you go for alternative methods. And say, I said, I just wanted to be a doctor. So I was went there. But after learning for those 5 years, it turned my perspective to look towards the medical system. And I worked really hard during that time. And even passing out from college, it took really a very hard time to complete those understanding which actually Hahnemann was intended to teach. I follow Hahnemann. I do not follow, you call it classical way, right? So it was really very difficult to find a way between all those different methods practicing nowadays all over the world.
And so many different methods these days, hey?
Yeah, but there are very less teachers who are practicing actually classical homeopathy. So I had to work myself alone with the books. You can see a lot of library behind me there.
Amazing. And what year did you qualify?
I am actually, I completed my DHMS, a diploma first, then completed a degree course, BHMS, and after that, post-graduation, MD Medicine in Repertory.
So you have many decades of experience behind you. I think you said about 30 years?
Yeah, it's wow. 31st year now.
What, 31st year? Wow. And your daughter is a homeopath as well now, hey?
She's not. She's learning. She's in third year of homeopathy.
Wow! So you must have been a great inspiration to her.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And she actually got admission from government seat in physiotherapy. But after that, her name was also included in homeopathy, she just gave up that physiotherapy and chose homeopathy.
Wonderful! Great happy. Choice.
Yeah.
So Sanjay, tell me what homeopathy is like in India, because it is very different to what we experience here in Australia. Can you tell for all of us Westerners what we're missing out on? Because it sounds like homeopathy is very well accepted where you are.
Actually, it has been introduced with degrees from universities. So we have a very huge structure of homeopathy in India. Actually, there are near about 28 to 29 states in India, and each state is governed by different governments, individual government, and all those total state is governed by a central federal government, you call it. So the authority comes from the state government. If you are practicing in one state, if you want to practice all over country, then you need permission from CCH, Central Council of Homeopathy, which is under a federal government, right? So we have university course nowadays. What I studied during that time, there was a diploma of 4 years. Now there is degree of 5 years, 5.5 years. And after that, post-graduation study of MD will go for 2 more years. And after that, you got to get registered your degree with Central Council of Homeopathy for India, and for state council is there of homeopathy. And it's not an individual identity, but it is governed by the state government and government of India, health ministry. Mm-hmm. And nowadays they have given a separate ministry for alternative medicine, Ayush, mm-hmm. from which they have same standards for allopathy, Ayurvedic and homeopathy. Same standards of education, same standards of hospitals, and even it was not up till now, but from this COVID period, they had allotted jobs for homeopaths also, in government jobs.
Wow.
So you have homeopaths working in hospitals alongside medical doctors, and you have just homeopathic hospitals as well?
At present, there are very few hospitals which are dedicated homeopathy, which have dedicated homeopathy. But government, which are giving jobs for homeopathy in hospital, their hospital, they are giving a separate dedicated chamber in which they can practice homeopathy.
Mm-hmm. But still, most people in India at least know what homeopathy is, right? Like if you were to walk in the street and ask somebody what it is, they would probably know what it is. In Australia, hardly anybody knows what it is.
Yeah, India is actually huge country. And not by land-wise, Australia is very large, but by population-wise, it is very large. And if you compare the population homeopathy new nowadays, it's very, very little. It might be larger population than one of the small country, but it is very few as compared to rest of the population of the country.
Why do you think homeopathy is so popular in India?
Because it is approved by government, education, there is a dedicated education system. And actually, it was not purpose of government to promote homeopathy. It was when India got freedom in 1947, that time a government was only behind to provide jobs and bread and butter for the population, and people was not actually very rich people to earn their own businesses and like that. So they opened small educational institute from which lot of people were employed from that, pathology, gynecology, obstetrics, all those subjects were taught by allopaths. And after that last 20 years, I have seen the university has told all the institutes that you should teach your students by the degree holders of your own faculty. So now homeopaths are teaching anatomy, physiology, pathology, surgery, medicine, gynecology, and everything.
Wow. I just want to clarify for our listeners, because this podcast is aimed at the general public. So when Sanjay talks about allopathy, that is a term that's used for just conventional medical system.
Right.
We often talk about allopathy.
Yeah.
So Sanjay, do you have any special cases that you like to treat in your clinic? Do you specialize in a particular area, or do you treat everybody? Can you maybe share some cases from your clinic with us?
Actually, I'm practicing classical way. You call it classical, and we call it a Hahnemann way. It's far behind the world new. Actually, nowadays we see lot of classical homeopath practicing a Kent homeopathy. And I am bit different, bit older than Kent. So it doesn't matter what you do, but my perspective is looking at everywhere, all as perspective of body as a whole. And I treat almost whole body, all diseases. Okay.
And you treat men and women and children?
Everywhere.
You treat everybody?
Right. Right.
Everybody.
And I would like to just tell you one case. It was a case of one baby. At present, his age is 2 years, 24 months. But what was a tragedy, when her mother was pregnant, a 7 month pregnant, the doctors detected the baby was having a congenital atresia of intestine. What atresia means, that intestine was having adhesion and stuck together. Lumen was just stuck together and it was not patent. So as baby that time was inside the womb, it was not necessary because mother's she was breathing and everything, blood was supplied from mother. But after birth, baby has to survive on his own. So they was prepared for cesarean section, but she delivered normally. And very next day, the baby was operated. Very second day after birth, they operated the baby, and after that operation, they kept baby in the incubator. There, you know that incubator, yeah. For 1.5 months. And I'm just telling a background, the story. And after that 1.5 months, after 2 months, baby came home. And since then, the baby was sick, like diarrhea, vomiting, bloating of abdomen and everything. And then the doctor suspected that he was probably having lactose intolerance. And they stopped the mother's milk. They stopped the mother's milk. And they give some thin packed formula. I don't know, actually, I don't know. I haven't studied that. And they give something like that. And he was okay with that box. But every month, once or twice in a month, every 15 days, he was sick with the same complaints. Vomiting, bloating of abdomen, diarrhea, and such things. And after 18 months of birth, the parents went to the doctor during same episode of illness, and the doctor say, probably baby is getting adhesion again, and probably we might need to operate him again. And the parents was not ready to go for the surgery. So they asked doctor, if we have 2 or 3 months, we can have him on medicines. And they say, okay, by the time you can go for alternative ways if you want. And actually there was one of my student who is lecturer in the homeopathic college nearby. And she contacted me, sir, there is a case of a baby, if you want, you can treat her. I don't know if I able to reverse that surgery part, but I might try. And I took all the case, and what I studied, I just followed the pattern of development, the baby, all those 2 years. The baby, now this time it was 18 months of the age, right? And I just saw, and I find in the history, one is congenital defect, means developmental errors, you can call it, basic word, a developmental error, embryological error, right? Then the baby was vaccinated very second day before going to the surgery with BCG vaccine. The vaccine is a second part, and third part, which I noticed, was they stopped mother's milk. The role of mother's milk for the first year, or say first 6 months, is very crucial. Right? Because it gives immunity to baby, and it start develops its own digestive system. Right. They stop that food, and baby actually lacking his own immunity. The bacterial flora which was in his intestine was destroyed every twice in a month by antibiotics. So how can he digest?
Not even to talk about the trauma of being separated from their mother for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can look at these all factors, the pattern of development. Mm. And what I see, the allopath was suspected the scar. Scar at that injured part, surgical operated part of intestine. But I didn't find that because I saw that mother is feeding the baby and same food was passing out in the diarrhea undigested. It was going down. It was not just locking inside the stomach and coming out. So I said it was fine, that your intestine is patent, it's working. The baby at present is only suffering from indigestion, and that is from his own non-development of own immunity. So what could you think? Just you can see or you can ask.
Are you asking me for some remedies?
No, what could you suggest in such patterns?
Do you mean remedy wise or just what I think would?
Yeah, whatever you like to say, you can.
Well, I think I would need to know a little bit more about the case, but I think I probably approach cases very differently to you. So I would probably do a vaccine detox. I would probably look at some remedies for grief and loss and separation from the mother.
Right.
You know, loss of breastfeeding. There's a lot going on there. Even thiocyanaminum is a remedy that's very good for scarring, even internal scarring. So I would probably give thiocyanaminum in low potency if that was the issue. I'd probably give bowel nozos to help support their bowel. So I'd probably prescribe a bit differently to you.
Yeah, sure.
But tell us what you
really,
did.
Really. Everything you talk is really good things and up to the point. But first thing, what I noticed was developmental issue was the first thing. Baby was not developed his anatomy well. So his functions of intestine was also, means you can call it as developmental errors, congenital errors. Embryological, it was not complete during the phase of those 9 months embryonic time. So I gone with calcarea fos, and it worked really miraculous. And baby now is on treatment because it might go treatment go for a long time for year, 1 more year. Because he needs to develop everything, right? Mm. But in 4 months, I saw he started digesting milk.
Wow.
He started eating small soft biscuits, bread, and we have that dal. You know dal? That's
yes, I love dal.
Yeah, dal, which is boiled in and that water. That and dal is also digestible, and lot of food he started, and consistency of the stool was basically very nice, semi-solid. Blotiness of the abdomen was quite normal. This is what
all just with calc fos.
Yes, it was just.
Wow.
But I actually given one more remedy to detox was, and that was a thuja in between after month. But I begin with calc fos.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I feel like I can sit here and listen to you talk about cases all day because I love hearing what other cases other homeopaths see in their clinic.
I'm not really very good to treat the babies, but this was the only one or two between all those 30 years. And I was really happy with this.
Wow, and I bet the parents are so happy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's very traumatic when our children have to go through things like operations. It's very traumatic, not just for the child, but for the whole family.
And it's, the time.
And you saving them all those thousands of dollars of having an operation and all that trauma is brilliant.
And look at the time. Very next day after birth, second day after birth.
Wow.
That's really
amazing.
We can't even imagine the baby going for operation during that phase.
What sort of cases do you like treating? What are your favorite types of cases?
Yeah, that's really difficult to answer. But we can say the area where you live have certain patterns of diseases developing, the way of lifestyle, the eating habits, the way people eat, live, they work, whether they are working hard in the farm or whether they go in the gym. Everything depends on this pattern. So we have lot of cases here, like liver diseases, like kidney diseases, renal stone. Then I actually I am during my postgraduate studies, I have thesis on what you call that efficacy of homeopathy in non seronegative spondyloarthropathy.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. Seronegative means the arthritis in which in serum studies you don't get anything. And as that was my part, I have seen lot of patients of ankylosing spondylitis, though they are very rare, but I hunted those people around and I studied that very much. So I got rheumatoid arthritis. I work with even heart diseases, but not actually very serious type, but carditis and such. On some lung deep lung diseases, and one of the case really I am happy to share was chronic myeloid leukemia, and and actually she was released from hospital. Doctor said just go home among your people and she might die in 8 days. The family was not about to look at the pain, so they came to me and told doctor, if you can just reduce the pain, we know she is going to die, but we can't see her in the pain, so if you can do anything for her pain, please do it. And I was really blank during that time. But I just saw generalized and just given the remedy on single rubric, and that was generalized lymphadenopathy. Generalized lymphadenopathy over body, and it was iodome, you know.
Oh.
And it was miraculous. Within 7 days, the lady came walking herself in the clinic. And
I've got goosebumps.
And yeah, right. And that she did a lady survive for next 5 years. She died. And
that's why we do this job. It's so great when you see that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she died, but not due to leukemia, but cardiac failure. But this was a very... So very different, various type of cases come at clinic here.
Now, you also started a organization called Homeopathy for Humanity. Can you tell us about that and why you started it and what work you do with that?
Yeah, I would like to share these things because I am connected with homeopaths all over the world through this organization. Actually, our work is not to propagate homeopathy among the general public. Because I know if you work hard, if you work sincere, the people will automatically know what you are doing. So I felt need to wake up those people, laymen people. I saw that people homeopath, we have a lot of homeopath in India. We are the only country in the whole world where homeopathy is nourished very nicely. And there are lot of ways, methods, people just following their own brain, they following the different teachers, right? And in all those, I found that something is missing. Whatever I studied, I noticed that I want to do homeopathy because it is based on those principles, and only because of those principles, homeopathy is homeopathy. Otherwise, you can call it anything, but it's not homeopathy. And when I see the people are ignoring those facts of principle of homeopathy about, drug potentization, understanding the methods of drug potentization, then understanding the concept of understanding disease homeopathically by understanding the concept of chronic disease, right? And one more thing, but not least, individualization. How the disease is limited, though it is widely spread in the population, the individual patient is individual, different individual. These 3 points are widely ignored in the among the homeopaths. And we just wanted to tell people, do whatever you want, fly however in the skies, but don't lift your feet above the foundation stone. So it was the intention to teach homeopath the basic homeopathy, so you can provide better service to your clients. You can, and I see homeopathy which Hahnemann given us is not that what you call energy thing or spiritual thing or any something immaterial thing. It is very basic, same as modern medicine, but it's just a borderline between that what you call energy and material. It's not breaking the material and going into the energy field. And people think it is something mental. Your mind is also physical. Lot of people don't know mind is also physical. It is just function of brain, same as your function of livers, function of your kidney. The function of your brain is mind. It's physical. It's not energy. Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about it that way. And that's why I love speaking with different homeopaths, because we all have such different ideas. But the foundation of homeopathy is the same. You know, we have a solid foundation which homeopathy is based on. Unlike allopathic medicine, I was having a chat with Dr. Isaac Golden just this morning, and we were just saying how homeopathy has such a solid foundation that has stayed the same for over 200 years, whereas conventional medicine, allopathy, has no base. It's not based on anything. It's just, you know, to do a bit of this, do a bit of that. It's got no foundation that it's based on. So I think homeopathy definitely has an advantage in that we have a solid scientific principle on which our medicine is based.
And it's not really very different between modern thinking of modern medicine. It's just a perspective to look at disease. It's not about medicine. You're giving your own medicine, they give their medicine, and we look at disease differently. That is only different. And probably people not able to communicate the modern scientific world, I'm talking about homeopaths, they're not able to communicate, and that's why there is a gap between the understanding of both system. If Hahnemann was alive in this time, this gap could have been finished. Yeah. And
so I'm wondering. Yeah. Sorry, you finish.
We work with the organization. We connect with the people. We listen to the people. People means I'm talking about the homeopaths, right? We talk, understand their own thinking, how they think about homeopathy, and we try to communicate homeopathy in the way they understand homeopathy. We tell them Hahnemann's way in the way they understand. That's way the people could understand more better, and I am happy lot of people nowadays been thinking of this perspective of practice.
So that's something you're passionate about with homeopathy for humanity,
yeah,
to get that message of the foundation of homeopathy
right
out there. I'm wondering, Sanjay, seeing as COVID is such a hot topic these days, can you tell us a little bit about homeopathy and its role in COVID in India? Are the homeopaths allowed to treat COVID, or What sort of things has been happening
over there? Okay. Nowadays, as we have our separate government ministry, so they had told that homeopaths can treat cases, but not serious cases. Earlier, it was we are not allowed to have any COVID cases. But we used to treat unofficially. We don't ask patient to go for testing. But we know that it was COVID, because people were coming in huge numbers. And we just stopped testing them, and they were off the record. But after 1 year since COVID, government has released an advisory that homeopath also can treat cases in their hospital, but not serious cases, but mild and moderate cases.
Wow, that's very interesting.
I also saw near about 600 cases in the last 4 months.
Yourself?
Yeah, 600.
Wow.
Second wave was really, really horrible in my state. My state was very extremely hit. Almost 10 to 15,000 cases per day we are having there.
And how have you kept yourself strong through all of this? Have you had COVID, or have you managed to keep yourself strong after seeing 600 people?
I don't know whether I had or I haven't had. But it was just sometime I used to have some sore throat, and I took the medicine and it gone. So I don't know if that was COVID or not. But precautions over clinic, we used to sanitize all sitting capacities, facilities in the clinic. Every patient, all the patient will call on the time, one at a time. But often huge number was infecting, so it was really difficult to manage those number. Because look, I am not practicing at a town that you are living, Perth. It is a very big city. My place is very small one, just 5 kilometers area circumference, but population is almost 200,000. It's small place, but the hospital capacity is 2,000. Government hospital capacity is 2,000. And COVID capacity was increased to 2,000 more. So 4,000 beds capacity we had here. And listen, we are having almost 1,000 cases every day. So it was quite impossible. The whatever capacity you are having, medical capacity, was full for next 3 weeks in just 4 days. And where the other people will go? Yeah, it was really horrible. But somehow we managed. We have seen a lot of deaths, and I am happy none of death we saw with homeopathy.
I was just thinking, I hope somebody is keeping a record of all of these cases, because it will be lovely to see, you know, how homeopathy helps, because obviously with the flu pandemic in 1918, the homeopathic hospitals then had a huge success rate. The death rate in homeopathic hospitals was less than 2%, and in the allopathic hospitals it was much more. I don't want to say how much because I can't remember the numbers off the top of my heart, but I know off the top of my head. I do remember that homeopathy has had very great success in epidemics over the past 200 years. So it's going to be interesting seeing at the end of this what statistics are out there.
Yeah.
You know, what work the homeopaths have done.
Yeah. And COVID period was really bad. We haven't yet ended the second wave, and we are at the gate, doorstep of third wave. And we don't know how it could be happening. But we need to get prepared, and we need to make awareness for the general public to take care of themselves. And this all time will be go off soon. I pray for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Sanjay, can you tell me before we finish off a little bit about how people can get hold of you if they want to find out more about your work? Have you got a website for humanity? Homeopathy for Humanity. Or how can people get hold of you?
You can follow me on Facebook. We have Facebook pages. We have Homeopathy for Humanity website. But I think in these 2 years, as we were absolutely busy in this pandemic, it was not updated. So probably in a couple of months after COVID finished, we will look after that website also.
So just for a bit of fun right here at the end, can you tell me your top three remedies and why?
Oh my God, that's tricky. Huh? That's really tricky.
It is tricky. Out of 8,600 remedies we have now. So what's your top three that you can't live without?
Okay. I will just try, but it's not a stone. Huh? I will classify it into the acute remedies. I will go with Econite and Belladonna.
Mm-hmm.
And in minerals, I will go with Calcareas and Phosphorus.
You're cheating and now. You're only allowed three.
And that's why I'm telling you. Whenever I look at this mineral or plant, I love Pulsatilla.
Pulsatilla, lovely. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And a lot of cases I have treated of COVID with Pulsatilla.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. And what common symptom I saw was loss of smell and lot of taste in rest of along with the symptoms. Okay, so another one I like using snake remedies like Lachesis and Crotalis.
I saw an article just this morning that they are now saying that the venom of some or other viper in Brazil is showing to be useful for COVID symptoms. And then I was thinking, well, that's interesting, because in homeopathy we have loads of remedies made from snake venom, and
right.
a lot of it has to do with, you know, clotting and blood and bleeding and those sorts of things.
So Bothras.
I thought, oh, interesting.
Yeah, Bothras.
And interesting what you say about pulsatilla, because I haven't treated anyone with COVID, but I've heard that the symptoms change very frequently with COVID.
Right,
and
right.
Pulsatilla obviously is a very changeable remedy. So it's interesting that you say that. I can see how that would fit.
If you are having a symptom, loss of smell, loss of taste, or altered taste or smell, along with rest of symptom, along with some digestive system, and lot of changeability in all those respiratory, upper respiratory and deep respiratory symptoms. Fever without thirst. Pulsatilla is thirstless. Just go with the symptom. And those pulsatilla works really. My daughter actually was treated first with the pulsatilla for COVID. And she came out really fast. Just in 3 or 4 days, she was okay.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, Sanjay, it's been so lovely chatting with you. I've been looking forward to our chat because we've been Facebook buddies for a little while. So it's so lovely to get to speak with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.